From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. COVID-19 continues surging across the state. The Omicron variant has helped break records for daily case counts. Hospitals are postponing non-emergency surgeries and keeping even critical patients waiting in the emergency room, sometimes for days. Cases and hospitalizations among children are also reaching pandemic highs, especially those 4 and younger who are not yet eligible for vaccines. Meanwhile, school districts are again confronting tough choices on how to operate, balancing learning and safety. Last week, the Illinois Department of Public Health announced that it and the State Board of Education plan to align with the new quarantine and isolation time periods from the Federal Centers for Disease Control, something they previously had not done. Later in the show, we'll go deeper on the new CDC rules and also testing and other COVID topics with a pair of virologists. But first, we're going to stay in school with reporters who've been covering education in different parts of Illinois. Peter Medlin is education reporter at WNIJ and host of the podcast Teacher's Lounge. Peter, welcome back to The 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Emily Hayes is a reporter for Illinois Public Media, WILL. Emily, welcome back to you as well.
Hi, thank you.
And Sarah Karp is an education reporter at WBEZ in Chicago. Sarah, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And listeners, we invite you to join our conversation as ever. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. If you have questions for our guests, what do you think? Should schools be shifting from in-person to remote or hybrid learning during the surge, or should they stick with in-person learning, especially as the vast majority of students, at least, are eligible for vaccines age-wise, especially if you are a teacher or a parent? We want to know how this is affecting you. 800-222-9455 is the number, 800-222-9455. Sarah, I'm going to start with you. You've been covering Chicago public schools. There's been a standoff there between the teachers union and the school administrators in the city. Schools are closed again today and have been since last Wednesday. What's the heart of the disagreement there?
Well, the heart of the disagreement is that the Chicago Teachers Union does not feel as though enough safety protocols are in place, and they would like to have a safety agreement with the school district after they had one in last spring, but that expired and they haven't been able to land on a new one. And so right now there's really no agreement dictating things like how much testing should be done or whether there should be a metric in place for when a school should shut down due to a COVID outbreak or staff shortages. These are some of the things that they really are pushing for. Some of the things that they've already got the school district agreeing to is like better masks, better N95 masks, and some accommodations for medically fragile staff. So that's basically what's going on here. And you know, the school district now says that they want to come to an agreement with the Chicago Teachers Union, but for many months it was sort of unclear that they were really thought that they had to. And the union kind of let like communication and negotiations go on. I do think that the surge of Omicron and all the increase of cases kind of brought the issue to a head, that the union felt like we just can't go on without getting some of these measures in place.
Yeah, we got a question from one of our listeners in our texting group who said, is it true that one of the requests by CTU is that there should be masks available to give to students? I know you just mentioned N95s. Are teachers wanting masks for their safety, for the children's safety? What's at the heart of this?
Well, currently, no child in Chicago public schools can be in school and no adult can be in schools without masks on. So we have a very strict mask mandate in Chicago public schools. What they're asking for is, N95s, because it's been shown that this variant spreads unless you have a better mask on. And, you know, this would not be a requirement, but the union just wants for schools to have those available for kids
I see.
And teachers.
Yeah, sure. And we're going to talk a little bit more about masking and the latest recommendations from the CDC's against cloth masks later in the program with our virologists. Peter, let me bring you in. The CDC announced new quarantine and isolation guidance, and we saw an advisory from the Department of Public Health and the State Board last Friday, I guess, indicating they're reviewing it and plan to align. Can you talk about how this might affect schools and testing?
Yeah, so let me try to break this down in the most succinct way I can. So with these
good
new
luck.
Guidelines, what was that?
I just said good luck.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I'll try. So staff and students who test positive with these new guidelines would now, people who test positive would isolate for 5 days instead of 10, beginning with when their symptoms started. And if they don't have symptoms, it would start from the day they test positive. And then afterwards, continue to mask for 5 days, which is something they would probably have to be doing anyway. And fully vaccinated people don't need to quarantine if they're exposed, but should get tested on the fifth day if possible. And it also cuts the quarantine period to 5 days for unvaccinated people who are exposed. And, you know, kind of aside from the actual guidelines, there are schools that have been doing, you know, test to stay protocols, essentially, which is where they test students who are exposed and let them stay in person if they keep testing negative over the course of a couple days.
Yeah, and then you have less learning loss that way and less students out. There have been some advocates who have been pushing for that, although it's not yet state policy. Is test to stay, is that something the state is considering, or is that still more just district by district?
I think it's district by district at this point. There have been districts, even as far back as, like, you know, again, in the fall, who were piloting these programs. And most of the schools that I talk to say if it's not something they're already doing, it's something they're hoping to push out within the next couple of weeks.
Emily, you spoke with a family that had some confusion about quarantine and isolation and testing rules right before this shift, right? Do you get the sense that these new rules are going to clarify things, or is it just, making it even more confusing with these continuing changes in the testing protocols?
I think it's helpful that it aligns with the CDC. A lot of families go to the CDC assuming that that's the ultimate authority, when in fact Illinois State Board of Education and Illinois Department of Public Health are really the ones who are dictating what Illinois schools do. So there was a period last week and after the end of December where the CDC had updated its guidelines for the general public, but the Illinois was saying, well, that's not for schools, so we're not updating, you know, our regulations for schools. So there was enough confusion that the Champaign Unit 4 School District put out a press release saying, like, hey, remember, we're still at 10 days, not five. So now that it's five officially across Illinois, that I think will help clear up some of the confusion. It also sounds like there's just been general confusion because people remember, oh, it used to be 14 days. Oh, is it now 10 days? And so people are just sort of going by planning based on what they've last heard. So the family I spoke to in Champaign, they had two exposures from the same student. And that meant that he only went to school for 15 days in the second quarter. And part of that was that his family thought that quarantine would last 14 days, you know, per like a long time ago guidance. And then when they realized the difference, you know, it was so close to Thanksgiving break, he has a disability and it's hard for him to transition between remote and in-person school. So they just kind of stuck with, you know, basically no school until the breaks. So now that he's fully vaccinated, hopefully that family won't have as much trouble.
All right, let me just take a moment to reintroduce the conversation. We're speaking with Emily Hayes with Illinois Newsroom, Sarah Karp from WBEZ, and Peter Medlin from WNIJ. They're all education reporters in different parts of Illinois. Peter, Rockford, I gather, is the biggest school district in your part of the state. What are they doing? Are they going back to remote or hybrid learning with the latest surge, or sticking with in-person?
They're sticking with in-person as of now. Obviously, all schools, like everyone, is seeing increased positive cases with students and staff and everybody, but really the only district in Northern Illinois that I've seen that has seen, you know, major disruption in terms of switching classes and going completely remote was actually the West Chicago Elementary School District, which is a K-8 district. And they were remote all of last week because when they came back from Christmas break, they had, again, this is not a huge district. This is a K-8, you know, suburban district, had over 120 staff members test positive.
We heard from another texter who said the pivot to remote meant, yes, there were problems, but the must do face-to-face mindset makes no sense. To me, this is one of our listeners. It has nothing to do with what's best for our children. We should be investing in making the school safe and figuring out how to do remote learning well, because it's a good option for many students. But another texter said, the issue with schools are complicated. I'm a physician. There's no perfect solution. It's a balance. Emily, you've been talking with administrators. I mean, are schools in your part of the state doing this shift to remote learning versus in-person learning? What's going on there?
Yeah, so the Champaign and Urbana schools are still in person. Danville School District 118 did switch to remote school Wednesday last week. There were enough COVID cases among students, teachers, and bus drivers that they had to operate, you know, remotely. They're again remote today. Well, there's a scheduled planning day today, and then tomorrow they're going back to school. So. Yeah, there's staff shortages all over.
You raise a good point because it seems like I've read about some schools where it's not necessarily that so many students are out sick, but if you don't have enough teachers or school aides or lunchroom workers or bus drivers, you can't adequately staff the school, right?
Exactly. Yeah, there have been staff shortages for a while now. So I think with positive cases, that's really exacerbating a problem.
Okay. Another text we got from one of our listeners, and I should say people can join us live if they want, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. We got a couple of more texts. John says, the disease is endemic and it's never, ever going away. We just have to learn to live with it. And closing schools is as stupid as closing schools for bad flu. That's from John. Wes, though, says, I taught in public schools for more than 35 years of my life. I never had to consider that my life might be at risk for just showing up. Are schools really just for babysitting? The world needs to figure it out before risking somebody else's future. Sarah, I wonder if you have a response to any of that, if that echoes what you've heard from teachers and or parents in Chicago on the other side of it. And maybe you can just, you know, talk a little generally what is lost in when schools do go to remote learning or as happened in Chicago, just shut down completely.
Right. And I think this is, you know, I think it's a debate a little bit beyond schools, because it seems to me like there's not a big decision in the world about how we deal with COVID-19 going forward as a fact of life. But, you know, in Chicago, there are certainly parents who I've talked to who are holding press conferences. In fact, today, what's happening is we're having sort of dueling press conferences by people who agree with the teachers union and then by people who agree with the mayor, right? So, and also it's like dueling press conferences from people who are like in-person learning no matter what, and remote learning in the circumstance that the schools are not safe. So that's going on, you know, constantly. And I think that, you know, nobody knows the exact right answer at the moment, but, you know, certainly this is what is out there. I mean, one thing that I will say is that the mayor has, you know, not just in Chicago, but nationally on national TV shows, the mayor in Chicago has made this into an issue of remote learning versus in-person learning. But it is worth saying that the Chicago Teachers Union and teachers just in general do not like remote learning. I mean, I have not talked to one teacher who would say, given my, you know, my druthers, I'd be teaching remotely. A lot of teachers go into teaching because they love kids and they like to be with kids. And also, a lot of the teachers here were very upset last year when they saw so many kids disengage from remote learning. I mean, they were the ones that saw it firsthand that this student or that student just wasn't showing up or wasn't participating. right now, what the union is pushing for is, you know, at first they were pushing for a short break in person learning, for a pause. Now they're not even pushing for that. They're just pushing for a safety agreement. But I really think that by just looking at this as a debate between in-person versus remote is kind of like, it's not really what's happening. It's really a debate about, you know, can Chicago Public Schools get the safety measures in place that would make parents and teachers feel safe to have their kids in school?
And beyond that, though, I mean, we only have about 30 seconds left. I think it's maybe just worth mentioning, it's not just instruction we're talking about at school, right? For so many students, it's a place that, you know, when parents have to miss work if their kids are at home, or kids count on getting a nutritious meal at school, right?
For sure. And that's one of the things that the mayor says. It's like, what are working parents supposed to do with their children when we're at home? And I mean, that's definitely a point. And there are definitely working parents out there who are pissed, and they cannot understand how it is that we're sitting here once again with our children at home and just like looking at us trying to figure out what's next. So yes, this is definitely a problem. It's definitely a problem. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, nobody is saying that we want to be in this situation, but, you know, who wants to be in this situation?
Right?
I mean, you know,
yeah. We're gonna have to leave it there. We will continue following this issue. Sarah Karp, Emily Hayes, Peter Medlin, thank you all for being with us today on the 21st. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.